I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Kristen Robinson. Kristen is the social media head coach of KR Design and is known as the military spouse business mentor. Kristen helps entrepreneurs with their social media struggles and helps them build their social media presence to grow their email list to launch online. Kristen has a passion for military spouses, which we'll talk about, and she helps them build online businesses that create flexibility and freedom within the military lifestyle. Kristen, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
So I wonder if we could start off by you talking a little bit about what's so special about being a military spouse.
What's so special? I think what makes us special is the fact that we're okay when the government says, like, move, and we're like, okay, we'll move. We don't know where we're going. We don't know when we're going. We have no clue what that place looks like, but you know what? We're ready to jump into the unknown. So I think it takes a very special type of person to do that, and I think that's what makes us so special. We're ready to be flexible any moment's notice whenever the country is in trouble or when the country's doing great or whatever the government wants to make changes to our, you know, our defense system. So I think that just takes a special kind of person to say, yes, I will pretty much give up everything, because we can't really have a real 9-to-5 job, at least, you know, in some a 9-to-5 career, I should say. You know, we could work somewhere for so many years because we move every 2 to 5 years. So I think it takes a special kind of person to say, yes, I'm willing to give it all up for someone that I love and to do pretty much whatever your employer says to do.
Yeah, no, that actually is pretty incredible. And I would imagine not only does it take a lot of tactical flexibility, but it takes having a flexible mindset.
Yeah, that definitely does that. I mean, that's one way to put it. Yes, definitely does do that.
Yeah, it's like if you don't know whether you're still going to be living in the same place next week, that could have an impact on what you do personally with your own career.
Exactly, or you don't know if your spouse is going to be there next week. I mean, there are times where my husband's like, hey, 2 weeks, I'm going to go on a boat for 10 months. And I'm like, wait, what? Wait, and what? Where? What?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, okay, now, you know, you got to rush, and then who's going to pay the bills, going to do this, you know, that type of thing. See the family before you go, that type of stuff. But yeah, I mean, you really have to just be we have a saying called Semper Gumby. Be flexible, you know, like be flexible and open to, you know, what happens and what comes your way.
Kristen, where are you located now?
Right now, I am in Hawaii. I mean, that's one of the other benefits. That's what makes you so special. You get to some of the really cool places in the world, like Hawaii. So, yeah, I'm in Hawaii right now.
Yeah, that is pretty awesome. Where else have you been?
Well, let's see. I've been in South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, now Hawaii, and then we'll be going back to Virginia. So not many cool places as far as living. Of course, my husband's the one who's the real Marine, so he's been to Spain and Rota, Spain, and Crete, and Italy, and Dubai. So he's been, like, literally around the world because of what he does. But me, so far, it's just been the U.S. so far.
And how long have you been married?
Oh, man, I feel like, oh, man, what's our anniversary again? Like, let me count. We have been married for 6 years. It'll be 7 next year.
And how long has your husband been in the service?
8. It'll be 8 this year. So, but we met in college. We were college sweethearts. Uh-huh. So I've known him for literally, oh, my gosh, I've known the man for, like, at least 10 years. But we've been married for about 6.
Okay. So you both knew what you were getting into in terms of dealing with the logistics.
One of us did and one of us didn't. I didn't know. I didn't have a clue. My husband did because his parents were both Marines. His mom did 20 years and his dad did 28. So he grew up as a Marine Corps brat. I had no idea what it was like. I mean, yeah, it's one thing to tell you, oh, I'm going to be in the Marine Corps. I'm going to do this and this. And then it's one thing to actually be married. And then you're like in a house in Jacksonville, North Carolina, which feels like a dot on the map in the middle of nowhere. And you're like, oh, this is what it's like. Oh, okay. This is what he meant. So, yeah, one of us knew, one of us really didn't know. So it's been an interesting transition, at least for me.
So what, when you first got married, what were your thoughts in terms of, like, you know, work, career, etc.?
This sucks. I mean, that's my first thought, was this sucks. I'm from Los, if it makes, it would probably make more sense if I said where I'm from. I'm from Los Angeles. So any place is going to be way smaller than what I'm used to. You know, that's where I'm from. So, I mean, we're talking of, you know, a 3 million, you know, a 3 to 5 million people in one place moving to a town where they're lucky if they have 500,000 people at any given moment is just, you know, and then, of course, there's no big buildings. It was really hard for me to get a job because, you know, believe it or not, some people don't like hiring military spouses because they know we're not going to stay around for a while. We also tend to be overqualified because of our previous lives, as I like to call it. So you can imagine me trying to get a job from Los Angeles. I'm going to ABC small business company, you know, locally. And they're like, okay, you're not even going to be around. I don't know when what's going to happen. If your husband deploys, you got to take off work. And oh my gosh, you've worked for all these big companies that I've seen on TV and heard of. Yeah, I don't want to hire you. So it was just really, really frustrating. I mean, to be honest, I ended up landing a part-time job at Sylvan Learning Center and ended up, that's the reason why I started my business. I could not find a job. I couldn't find a job, period. It didn't even matter finding a job I liked. It was just I couldn't find a job. And I wanted to be able to be more in control of my job. So when my husband says, yes, honey, I'm leaving for 2 weeks. I'm going on a boat. You know, I'm not going to my employer going, I need to take, you know, 3 weeks off. And then if they say no, then what do? You know, and I was just like, I can't have my life live this way. I can't do it. That's why I had a part-time job at the time. But that's why I also started my business.
So how did you figure out what plan B should be?
Plan B... What ended up happening was I just came home. I don't know what happened. I guess there was some fire burning in underneath me. And all my husband said was, how was your day? And I just looked at him. And then I went on the carpet and I just threw this two-year-old tantrum. And he looked at me. He goes, okay, when you're done, I'll be in our bedroom when you calm down. And he just walked away like, you know, like a parent would, like a two-year-old who throws a tantrum in the middle of, you know, the store. So, and that's when I knew something just had to change because all he said was, honey, how was your day? And I just snapped. So I came in the bedroom and I'm like, I'm not happy. You know, I don't know what to do. I'm not happy. And he's like, well, you've always wanted to start a business. You've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. Let's see what we can do in our finances to make that happen. And so you could be happy because I don't want to see that again. I was like, okay. So we came up with a budget. And was able to get my business off the ground and get started.
And so what was the first thing you did in your business? Where did you start?
The first thing I did was obviously figure out how to make myself legal, and then obviously if there's anything on the base. So that's another thing that makes it different is the base I was at, it was not considered part of the city. They had their own laws about having a business, and that's where I lived. So I had to go through the base and see, okay, can I have my home-based business? Is it okay with the housing, you know, place, you know, the housing? If that's okay, I can have my home-based business. And then after I got everything straightened out with the base, then it was, okay, in town, what do I need, you know? I just needed a permit to do, you know, privilege do business in the city because even though the base was in the city, it's not part of the city. So I had to make sure that, you know, I was legal in both cities, if you will. So making sure I had all the paperwork together.
So are there nuances that military spouses need to know about these kinds of regulations before they start doing anything?
Only if they really live on a base, because if you live on a base, the base has rules. Like, the base was telling me, no problem if you have a home-based business. It's just, they were very, very interested in knowing what type of business I had. And especially most military spouses have a direct sales business. And unfortunately, in most housings, they're not okay with that because of, you know, most direct sales business, you have to have gatherings. And they're just like, okay, if you take up all the parking on the street, that's not cool. Like, how often do you take up all the parking on the street? So they want to know, like, how often do you have these gatherings, or how often do you have people over or clients over your house? And I was like, all my clients are off base. And they were like, okay, great, stamp. And you actually have to get some type of, depending on what base you're on, you have to get some type of approval. And my approval went through in like 2 hours. They interviewed me, asked me a question about my business. They said, great, we'll make a note that you have a home-based business. go do your business, and here's everything you need, you know, to be compliant with us, and then off it was. So it wasn't that hard, but you do need to check with your housing to make sure that it is okay to have a home-based business and to rent it outside of your home.
Interesting. So given what you've gone through, what do you find are some of the commonalities that make it that make a particular kind of business the easiest one for a military spouse to run?
The easiest thing is obviously, you know, the type of business I have, an online-based business that does a service. Number one, products, you don't have to deal with inventory and all that other stuff. So that just makes it so much easier. Service-based, it's your time. So you're able to see, well, how much time do I want to spend in my business? This helps you determine how many clients you need to take on, just like any other regular, you know, service-based entrepreneur. And then online, I think it's so essential that military spouses are online as entrepreneurs, because unlike most people, they're in one city, they grow roots somewhere, and they're able to take advantage of the community, the networking, and things like that. We can too, but just for a very shorter period of time. Like I said, you know, for me, I've been in places where I'm only there for 3 years. So as soon as I step off the plane, it's like an hourglass is starting for me. I have 3 years to get out there, you know, meet the community, know exactly what events I need to go to, get some clients, get them online. And then, you know, if I want to play the local game, get them online. But I found that, you know, being online based, people don't care where I am. They don't care what time zone I'm in, really. They just matter, hey, can I communicate with you? And will you get the work done? So I think it's so essential that we can actually have a normal business and an unnormal, you know, an untraditional type of lifestyle. And I think that's why it's so important to be online, because of our non-traditional lifestyle, that we can, you know, have some type of normal, you know, normal life.
Right. Well, what parallels can you draw between the needs that you have and that you see that other military spouses have with other kinds of businesses, where what you've created can be attractive to people who are not military spouses?
Exactly. that's why I'm so glad I met my mentor, Lisa Sasevich, because I was struggling trying to figure that out. So many business coaches tell you, well, you know, get out in your local community and start local. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm only going to be here for like 6 months, right? Like, there's really,
if you're
like,
lucky.
What am I going to do? Yeah, I'm like, what am I going to do? Because at the time I started my business, we had just gotten to Jacksonville, but I didn't start with a business coach until about maybe halfway through my 3 year time there. And she's like, okay, so get out and start networking. And I'm like, I don't even know where to start. You're telling me like in a year and a half, and let's be honest, it's more like a year and 3 months, because 90 days I got to start packing up and doing stuff. So you're telling me in a year and 3 months I have to get out there, find the best places. It was just like, by the time I figured out the best places to go, how to approach and really get the networking thing down, I had like 8 months left to go. I'm like, this isn't going to work. Like, I need someone who's going to show me how to do this online. And I ended up meeting my mentor now. I've been working with her one full year. I just renewed in my second year in her business mastermind, Lisa Sasevich. And one of the things I love about she teaches us is, yeah, there's a local way you can get out there and get speaking and do things. But let me show you how to do this on this online thing. I think that's probably more important. She believes in being leveraged, and being online helps you be leveraged. It helps us lead that military lifestyle that's so essential. You know, I hate to say this, but you know, when your service member is on the other side of the world in Iraq and Afghanistan and your kid is sick, there's only one parent. You know, people have to realize that. When the service member is gone for like 10 or 13 months, you instantly become a single parent. So anything that happens with your kids, anything that happens with your family or your spouse's family, you're that person. You know, or a hurricane comes, you got to get the house ready. All of this is on your own. So it doesn't really help if you can't be leveraged and be flexible and you're running, I hate to say it, a local type of business. It just really helps if you're online, where, you know, anybody in the world can work with you, and you're able to put those boundaries in place to help with the unexpected things that happen in our lifestyle.
So let's talk about leverage and flexibility. Mm-hmm. Kristen, how long have you been in business? When did you start?
2010 I started, and then full-time 2011.
Okay, so about 5 years or so, give or take. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what have you found are the keys to being able to create leverage so that you can scale, and at the same time maintain flexibility. Because that's something that I find, most people who are business owners struggle with those two issues, maybe more than anything else.
Yeah, I totally get it. And I think that's one of the things that makes a military spouse entrepreneur different. See, the thing with flexibility, we have to have it. Regardless of where we have to have it from the beginning. So I would say the first thing is setting boundaries. You know, this is going to sound really ridiculous, but to some people, they may love it. I have NFL hours. When NFL season comes around, I stop working at Monday at 2 o'clock Hawaii time, which is 5 o'clock Pacific. So it doesn't really affect too many things. But on Thursday, same thing, because the Thursday night football game. So it's so funny when people go, oh, I tried to email you and it was after hours. I'm like, you know, it's Monday night football, right? Like, I don't answer emails. I don't return phone calls until the next day. Like, we're done. Nothing happens. It's 5 o'clock anyway, but, you know, that's how it works. So I love that I can be flexible about that because that's what I love to do. So, but it's about putting in those boundaries of what you like to do and when you want to work. And that allows you to be more flexible and not burn out because you already have rocks in place, you know, to prevent those things from happening. So that's probably really important.
And if you tell people what the boundaries are, most yes. people will pay attention and they'll be fine with it.
Exactly. I mean, you know, your listeners, one simple thing that I do every month is I have an autoresponder. So anytime someone emails me, an autoresponder goes out so they know I got their email. And it says, hey, I check email at 9 a.m. Pacific. Oh, and by the way, I will be out of the office on these dates. And it tells you the exact dates I will be out of the office for the whole entire month. So people go, oh, I'm not going to contact her on October 6th. It says right here she will not be in the office. So I can, and so they know, okay, Kristen won't be in the office October 6th. So that means the earliest response I'll get is 9 a.m. Pacific, you know, on October 7th. So they'll know that. So that already creates boundaries. And I go, okay, get right. it. I understand.
And you've taken the time to plan out your month and to understand for yourself first what your boundaries are before you communicate those to anybody else.
Exactly. I mean, and let's not make it complicated. I'll be honest with you. The reason why I know that is because October is my husband's birthday, so I'm taking that day off, and I'm going to be at a speaking gig off island, so I'm not going to focus on anything. So I knew those two things were important, so I put them in my autoresponder. If there's anything else I need to add, I'll add it in, but I start with, you know, the core things I already knew. I'm taking off my husband's birthday, and I'm going to be gone, not focusing on anything. So it doesn't have to be super complicated.
Okay, so setting boundaries is first. What's next?
As far as leverage is concerned, it's about getting help. So one of the things you'll realize is that when you start your business, it's one person. And then as you grow, you're like, oh my gosh, this is too much for one person to handle. And then it's like, okay, I should probably go out and, you know, I should probably think about getting some help. And I think what makes that so interesting as entrepreneurs, you know, that's a big step is finding some help. Someone who's going to, you know, we got to delegate things to. And I find that for me, it's about getting someone where you're weak at. So I'm really strong at technology. I'm very good at setting up a lot of things in my business and automating a lot of things. But I am terrible at admin and follow-up. So what does my virtual assistant do? She follows up and does a lot of the admin tasks because I'm terrible at it. And when I get busy, that's the first thing to go. I totally ignore that because that's the part I don't like anyway. So when I, you know, when I look for an assistant, that's one of the things I look for is can they handle that and handle my admin task and things like that. And that allows me to free up not only something I hate doing anyway and something I let go, but allows me to bring more clients into my business because, you know, if I don't follow up, I don't get some of the clients and some of them leave and go somewhere else. So it allows me to get more clients in my business than I would have had before and allows me to serve my clients a lot better because now I'm not focused on the emails and all the stuff that I hate. I can focus more of my attention on the services and the technical things in my business. So that makes it, you know, more leverage. And as you put more people in different places in your business, that allows you to do other things and get other ideas that you want to act on that you never got to do before. So that's important.
Okay. So setting boundaries, getting help, particularly where you're weak. Anything else?
I would say at some point you have to start thinking about transitioning out of the one-to-one model. That's been probably the biggest thing I've been working on in my business right now, because we are very service-based, and as a service-based business, you tend to do a lot of things one-on-one. And then one thing you notice, and this is something Lisa Sasevich has helped, you know, a lot of us realize in our mastermind, is you have a system, you have a process. It's like a recipe. When you follow it, great things happen. So what is your recipe? What is your process? And that's one of the first things we work on when we get on her her campus. And discovering my process, I'm like, wow, well, let me teach it one-on-one to people. So instead, I have a done-for-you service. So let me teach people how I do it and see if that works. And it works. So I've been teaching people how to do Facebook ads for about a year now. And I was like, oh, wow. So I can teach people and they get results. Now it's, okay, I teach people one-on-one and it works. Let's teach people in a group setting. So I did that and it worked. So now it's like, oh, I don't have to do this one-on-one. It, depending on what the client wants, I can say, you know what? We're full. We can't handle any more Facebook ads management, because that's what we do. We manage people's Facebook ads. I'm sorry, we can't take you on, but you know what? We have a wonderful group program coming up in next month, where we teach you how to do your Facebook ad. Would you like to enroll in that program? You know, you can either wait, you know, a month, or you can, you know, wait a month and do, and or you can wait, you know, a couple of weeks and learn how to do it yourself. So we actually have a group program that we teach 4 times a year, so people don't have to wait. If they want that option to do it themselves, we do have a group program where people can learn. And that's been very helpful to me, because now we're working on people who, you know, we can raise our prices now, because people who don't have that budget that we would like to work with, our ideal client, we can say, okay, great, just take the group program. And then the people who are really ideal, who are willing to spend the money on Facebook ads, we can say, great, we'll take you on, and allows us to take on fewer clients because we're raising our prices and making more money. So it's been helping us in a lot of ways.
That's great. Anything else, any other tips that will help people learn how to leverage?
I think that's about it for now. I hope I don't stuff them like a turkey, but those are
so let me ask you a question about the flexibility piece. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know you talked about the fact that you need to be able to geographically move around. What happens, you know, if you're setting your calendar for a month and you're creating the expectations with your clients, and particularly when you start doing one to many, providing services one to many, where you're setting up a time for let's say, you know, a group program. What happens when you do need to make a change because of some of the factors you talked about earlier? You know, your husband gets called away and your kid is sick, and you suddenly don't have that time to do the group program, or you need to spend a few weeks packing up your home because you have to move to the other side of the world, and you had a plan to spend that time working with clients in your business. How do you account for that kind of flexibility?
That's a good question, and it depends on a couple of factors. I think the first thing is that I'm a planner, which is a terrible trait of a military spouse, because unexpected things happen. But to go back to what you said, one of the things is, at least in the military, in some cases, you know about 90 days out before you're getting ready to move. Like, I know we're moving in January. So I know in January, I probably don't want to plan too many things. So when I plan for, because when I plan for the year, and then obviously that year breaks down into months, and then that month breaks into weeks and days and et cetera. So, you know, as dates come up and as information comes up about when I move or some of the things that happen, you know, then I change my months and my things accordingly. It is a pain, but that's part of the lifestyle, you know, that I chose. So that's one thing. The other thing that happens, like if your kid gets sick or some of those immediate things, then it really depends on how your program is run. So, for instance, Lisa, my mentor, she teaches where all your training modules are pre-recorded. So when you show up, it's just Q&A. The actual session is just Q&A. They've already been through the training modules. And if you think about it that way, and you're only leading Q&A for about 45 minutes, it's a little easier to, you know, get someone to watch your kid for 45 minutes. Or to just be like, okay, you know, hey, kid, let me give you, you know, just rest right here for 45 minutes and let mommy, you know, answer these questions really quickly. Or if you have an assistant, you know, that's when it's key that you have an assistant. You know, they come on and say, okay, hey, you know, Kristen's, you know, handling some things right now. Sorry she couldn't make it, but I'll be handling your Q&A for the next 45 minutes. So that allows you to have that type of flexibility when you have a team to help you, or if you have the program set up in a way that's flexible for you. And there's different ways of how to format a group program. For instance, our group program is what I call a virtual retreat model. It's all in one day. For that particular reason, I don't like teaching. I don't think people want to know how to do a Facebook ad in 5 weeks. They want to know right now. And that also serves the client how to do it, because we do it in one day. By the time the day is done, their Facebook ad is done. They didn't have to work on it separately. They took the whole day out and they were able to plan it, get it done with my help. So that's why our program is built that way. But also it's built that way because I take only 4 days out of the year to deliver this program instead of 20 weeks. Most programs are 5 week long programs, 4 times a year. That'd be 20 weeks of my time. So now I'm saving weeks, a lot of weeks, just teaching, you know, 4 days out of the year and then blocking out that day, which makes it a lot easier to block out a day than to block out 5 weeks on my calendar, because I don't know sometimes where I'll be in the next year or what's going to happen. So it makes it a little easier for me.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge difference.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So clearly planning and having the right team in place can be game changers.
Definitely. You know, just having my, because I just hired a brand new assistant last week, and having her on board has just been amazing, because now I don't have to do a lot of the stuff I don't like doing. Like, she takes on the reporting and the client, the customer service. So I don't have to worry about, oh my gosh, I totally forgot to send that email. It's like, hey, she's like, did it done? Oh, thank you. Wonderful. It's done. And I can go do what I'm supposed to be doing or go do something else. So it's amazing how much stuff you realize goes off your plate when you have a team. You're just like, oh. And then you have that great problem of, wait a minute, I was supposed to do this. My assistant did that. Now I have a whole hour that I didn't plan on having. What do I do with this hour? And you're just like, what do I do with myself? And then that's when you start having that really great problem as an entrepreneur that we all, you know, dreamed of, is you have free time, not only making money, but your time is more free to do the things that you love to do in life. So it's a great problem to have.
So, Kristen, we've talked about this great platform that you've created over the last number of years. What are you working on now? What do we have to look forward to that's exciting?
Wow. What's exciting right now is I've always loved Facebook ads, of course, but now I'm officially using all aspects of Facebook to grow my business. I got into Facebook groups, and I have my own community, the Military Women in Business community. That's where a lot of military spouses, if they want to, you know, work with me or they want to know more about business, we have a Facebook group community. And I will say that's, you know, that's starting to be a lot of what the bigger online gurus are doing. They have Facebook groups of community of people that love them and, you know, do those things. And I will say I enjoy it so much. If you can't tell, I'm an extrovert. I'm very outgoing. So to, you know, be in my group, to answer questions, to, you know, guide people, it's just been wonderful. Don't get me wrong. We still do email marketing and build our list and all the other online marketing things that online entrepreneurs do. But I love it because instead of email marketing be a one-way conversation, you know, in your group, it's a two-way conversation. It makes you more real. They feel more connected to you. And I just love it. So I say for me, that's definitely going to be my future. I'll definitely be starting a group for regular entrepreneurs now that I've done military spouse entrepreneurs, and it's been awesome. But I will definitely say that's in the works. And I never would have gotten into that without Kimra Luna and Jordana Jaffe. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. Jordana Jaffe. They have huge Facebook groups, and I found out about them through my accountability partner, Rosetta Thurman, and just loved it. It was like being in a networking event 24/7, and I'm like, this is so cool. Like, I want to have my own group. Like, I want to have my own community like this. Like, this is cool. So, you know, Kimra has a huge group. She teaches a little about Facebook groups, but Jordana helps you take it further. So I enrolled in her course, and actually, I rolled in two courses of hers. There's another one coming up soon that I'll be taking with her, and starting my Facebook group, but learning how to keep engagement high, learning also, you know, how to add people, other than Facebook ads, because obviously that's how I add people to my group is Facebook ads. But the big part is how to monetize your group. I mean, let's think about it. You're in business to make money. So how do you monetize your group? So that's been the most fun and exciting thing I've been probably been working on the last 3 or 4 months.
That's great. So keep us posted. Be interesting to hear how things play out. And speaking of which, how can listeners learn more about you?
Yeah, no problem. So one of the things I would love to gift your listeners is I talk a lot about Facebook ads. It's changed my business tremendously, and I'm sure it'll change your listeners' business as well. So if you go to myfacebookadsecrets.com, you'll be able to grab my Facebook Ad Secrets Guide. And basically what it shows you is how to get your first Facebook ad campaign started with a budget of $10 or less per day. So I literally got 200 leads in 23 days, but I spent $5 to $10 per day. I didn't have a budget and I wasn't sure how it was going to work out. So it'll show you step by step how to do it. And then it has tips on what I did to get started and achieve Facebook ad success. So I know they're going to love that.
Okay. That sounds great. So we'll put that in the show notes. And Kristen, last question, who do you know personally who is currently doing really remarkable work?
Oh, gosh, my accountability partner, Rosetta Thurman. She is, I'm so glad we're accountability partners. We've been meeting every week for the last 2 years. And it's amazing to see her grow from, oh, I just have a group coaching business, to now she has a phenomenal year-long mastermind of her own. And she's stepping out to be a mentor. She just started her podcast, which is amazing. And now she leads 3-day events twice a year and enrolls people in her year-long program. And it's so great to just kind of sit on her shoulders, you know, and kind of watch what's going on. And that feeds me to inspire me about what's next in business and what are my next steps. So, I mean, she's doing amazing, wonderful things in strides only because, like I said, I work with her so closely every week to see a sneak peek of what's going on in her business. So it's been an amazing journey just watching her grow.
That's a great example. Kristen, thanks for mentioning her. Thank you so much for a great discussion about creating an online business, particularly creating a business that has both leverage and flexibility, which I know is really hard to do.
Yes, it is.
So all kinds of tips about just being an entrepreneur. So thank you. My guest today on Smashing the Plateau has been Kristen Robinson, the military spouse business mentor. Thank you again, Kristen, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.